Hey folks, Heather Cox Richardson and Joanne Freeman here. Thank you for being members of the Cafe Insider community.
This is Backstage, a special segment of the Now and Then podcast exclusively for you. We hope you enjoy it.
So Joanne, one of the things that really jumped out to me when we were planning this episode was your dude there, Plumer guy, who becomes a very different politician once he gets to Washington and recognizes that the party in power is doing crazy things.
Right. And is not what he thought the party was going to be and feels to him increasingly extreme.
And so that actually really made me think about how I got involved in doing the sort of work I do. And I wonder how you decided to go ahead and get involved in doing political history and getting involved in politics.
Well, I don't know if it's a straight line for me from the moment where I began to think about politics and my decision to be a political historian. There's a long, long spread of years between that. But what I do remember is, and it feels different now that I'm talking about it in the context of what we've just talked about, but Reagan running for president in 1980, and I was just in college, and he had a rally on our campus, and I was not someone who thought about politics a lot, and I was not someone who claimed to be part of a political party. And my relatives generally, I knew that one of my grandparents on my father's side was a Democrat and the other was a Republican. But other than that, I didn't really think politically. What happened when I went to that rally was a bunch of things were said and done that stunned me because they felt to me like not what is supposed to be happening in politics. So even without my being like, I'm a Democrat and those Republicans seem shocking, it was more general for me. It was, wait a minute. They're talking about religion and God at a rally. They're talking about Jesus at a rally, and I'm not Christian. Like, this isn't what's supposed to happen, right? What? Wait a minute. Church and state. Like, it just, honest, stunned me. I, like, stood there just sort of watching that happen. And that was my sense of that campaign on the part of the Republicans was, you know, I thought to myself, and this will be as blunt as I can put it, I am a Jewish American woman. And there's all these things that are being said that make me feel uncomfortable. And I can't allow that to happen. I have to do something or say something or speak up or something. I was sort of goaded into thinking politically by the fact that what I saw around me just didn't feel to me that it should be happening. It felt so extreme that I literally stood in that crowd in Claremont, California, open-mouthed because I just couldn't believe what I was seeing and hearing, which seems really naive, I realize that. But for someone who wasn't thinking politically at all, it left me speechless.
I don't think it was naive. And this is one of the things I keep emphasizing to younger people. We are in a bizarre moment.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't have to be like this. And I love the phrase you just used, goaded into it, because I was completely not political at all. And I was always interested. I was interested in literature. My master's degree is actually in literature, not in history. And I was interested in literature, and I was always interested in power and presentation, you know, sort of what people saw versus what was really happening. And, you know, I absolutely loved Shakespeare's Macbeth without recognizing at the time it was about politics, really. I just loved the symbolism and the interaction and all kinds of stuff. But if you're interested in power and you're interested, not that I wanted to wield it, I like watching people wield it, if you will, and how they get power and how they lose power in a literary sense, really, which is a very human sense, but less about the mechanics of politics, you do have to have rules. And for me, watching the Republican Party smash through the rules, and mind you, the Democrats would break rules too, but you know, you always have to do a calculation. Is that rule one that matters to me in terms of my contract with my lawmakers to go ahead and behave in certain ways? And sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't.
So that's a personal calculation.
It's a personal calculation, yes. But the one that jumps out for me was George W. Bush's signing statements. And I remember when they first started using signing statements, being outraged that the president would go ahead and use a signing statement, which had tended in the past to be sort of to say, oh, well, let's thank Joanne Freeman for her work on this bill, you know, and here, you can have a pen sort of thing, and had become, thanks for passing that bill. This is how I interpret it. So if in fact the Congress says you have to give us full transparency, I say, I interpret this as basically ignoring you. And I just found that such an incredible outrage. And what really jumped out to me is, first of all, like you, I have been goaded into taking a position in politics. I think I've told you I didn't even vote in the 1980 election. But what is interesting to me in the present moment is that in the 1990s and the 2000s, nobody ever wanted to hear about this. In fact, it was kind of a joke among some people to try and rile me up. Like, hey, did you hear about the latest? Just so they could watch me go, well, that's not fair. They shouldn't have done that. And now the number of people who are like, wait, explain signing statements to me. Wait, explain to me, you know, why we don't have declarations of war anymore. Wait a minute, explain to me this. It seems to me, you know, so many people are now wringing their hands and saying, oh, I despair of politics. And I always say, I am thrilled about where we are because you're paying attention.
Well, precisely.
For so many years, you weren't paying attention. And now it feels extraordinarily different.
When I'm grasping about trying to find something to feel positive about at present, that's what I grab at, is that people are watching and they're engaged and they're asking questions and they're discovering how the system does or doesn't work and what is supposed to happen and not supposed to happen in a way that in my lifetime has not been the case. And that has to be part of the equation of getting out of this moment. So the fact that that is happening, I find extremely encouraging and cheering amidst many things that are not very cheering. The question is, what happens with that? What are people goaded into doing in the same way that we were goaded? And does that come together to help us climb out of this current moment?
Well, what does worry me is I think that you come to a point when we are at such a mismatch between the mechanics of our democracy and the popular will that you must make those two things come together, or you're just going to have an explosion. And there are two ways to make it come together. One is to shut up the people who disagree, and the other is to change the mechanics. And I think so that they're more in sync with each other, that, you know, we no longer have the extremes where the 50 Democrats in the Senate represent 40.5 million more people than the 50 Republicans. You no longer have an electoral college that is so skewed toward rural areas. You no longer have voter suppression. You no longer have the extreme gerrymandering that we've got going on. Because if we don't have that, what we get is permanent minority rule, and that minority is getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
And more and more oblivious to the need to bring people along.
Well, and this is what FDR said. You know, he said he was protecting the system because what the people in charge who were insisting that they should just keep on going the way they were going couldn't see was that that instability could not last. Not that it would not last, although that was true too, but that it could not last and that we simply have to address that in one way or another.
And I think very often what we're watching is people focus on personalities. You know, Trump and the Republican Party, you know, reasons why I don't like Biden as president. Well, there's a small circle of people in the media saying this is about democracy. This is about the system. Those are the shiny things we should not be paying attention to. This is about something bigger than that. And that bigger thing is what's going to make or break us in this moment.
I will say that I believe when you and I began in this field, there were very few people yelling about democracy, and you
right.
and I were two of them.
Right.
And I will say,
right.
yeah, two of, you know, you could fit us all on a handful, and you and I were two of them. And people are talking about it again now, not only in the media, but also in Congress. And that gives me hope.
It does. I have to add something which may not be at the end here, but I realized it just in this conversation with you, Heather, and I have to say it because I never understood this about my scholarship before. What I do as a historian is I look at groups of people with power who use violence to keep it. That's what I do.
Well, don't you wish you'd actually gone into a field that was relevant?
Little did I know. But, you know, really, it's my first book about the 1790s and the Federalists and my second book largely about Southerners using violence to protect slavery. That's what I'm doing. I'm looking at these people who have power and assume they should keep it, and the ways, the illicit ways in which they're using violence and threats to keep it, doing things that operate against our democratic system. And what happens when they do it? How does it work? And how does that story come out?
Can I just tell you, I would like to vote right now that your next book is not on the present, that will not be necessary, and instead you should write a book on the Pinkertons.
Someone who's telling me my next book should be about puppies just to be safe. Like, pick something that's not political.
I'll take that one too.
Okay. Thank you for joining us backstage.
Be sure to write to us with your thoughts and questions at letters@cafe.com.
See you next time.